Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, and I just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I've got a festive background. I've got a little Christmas flannel shirt thing going on here, so hopefully you guys are enjoying that. So Merry Christmas. I'm recording this on Christmas Eve. It will actually go out to the public on Christmas Day. So I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas. To my Jewish listeners, Happy Hanukkah to you as well. I guess we'll have one more episode before the end of the year, right? Or, well, I guess depending on when you listen to it, I should probably say Happy New Year as well. So we'll just go ahead and get that out of the way. But thank you guys for listening. I'm a realtor here in Greenville, South Carolina. My contact information is in the show notes. If you need a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, please, I can help you out. If you need an insurance company, Piper Insurance Group, they sponsor this show, this episode. They can help you with all your home, auto, and umbrella insurance. They're an independent insurance agency, so they can quote from multiple different insurance carriers to give you the best coverage and best price. They can help you with investment properties as well, flips, ground-up new construction, commercial, all of that. And they can help you not just in South Carolina, but in North Carolina, Georgia also. So please reach out to them for a free quote. Not today, if it's a holiday, but once we're through the holidays. Not for their sake. Listen, Piper, Stephen Piper, friend of mine, he would respond to you. If you reached out to him this week, he would absolutely respond to you. But for your own sake, don't be worried about your insurance this week. Wait until the week's over, then reach out, and he can help you out. And to support the show, of course, please like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. So it's the end of the year, basically, right? And the end of the year, I always have a lot of episodes where we're kind of reflecting back on the end of the year, looking forward to the next year. And today, we're going to be looking at my bold predictions that I made at the end of last year for 2024. And seeing how I did, how I didn't, how well I didn't do, and just kind of talking through that, why things did or didn't turn out the way I thought they would. So I'm just going to run through this straight from the top. My first bold prediction was that the Fed would begin cutting rates in the second quarter of 2024. Now, when I say rates, I don't mean mortgage rates. I mean the Fed funds rate, which can indirectly impact mortgage rates. That's something we will come back to mortgage rates here in a little bit. But the Fed funds rate was a hotly debated topic because they hadn't cut rates since the pandemic. They'd kept increasing rates. And this was a massive question. Tons of economists were debating it. There was a lot of discussion, a lot of disagreement. But we finally got our answer in September when the Fed finally started cutting rates. Some people thought there would be no rate cuts. Some people thought there would be rate increases this year. So I was correct about them cutting rates, but I was off by a quarter. I said the second quarter, September, is in the third quarter. So I didn't quite have it right there. I was off by one quarter. Frustrating, but it is what it is. And so since then, they've lowered the Fed funds rate twice since then for a total of 3 rate cuts this year. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons. One is that, as I've already said, the Fed funds rate does impact borrowing rates on a meta level, which can impact mortgage rates indirectly, okay? They don't impact mortgage rates directly. We need to be very clear about this. The Fed is not directly pulling those strings. It's actually more the bond market that does that. But the bond market is looking at what the Federal Reserve is doing, basically to decide what they're going to do. And so what the Fed does can influence mortgage rates, and what they do does influence mortgage rates, albeit indirectly. The second thing is that what the Fed does with their rates tell us what they think about the state of the economy. And so they aren't going to drop rates dramatically unless they perceive that the economy is in free fall, which obviously we don't want that to happen. Right now, obviously, they don't think that's the case. They're being very conservative. They've even lowered their projections for rate cuts for 2025. So right now, the Fed thinks that our economy is doing okay. that it doesn't need any stimulus by means of rate cuts, and they're hoping that the bond market does a lot of the heavy lifting for them, which currently it is. My number two prediction. I was pretty much wrong, right, with that prediction. But I got it right that they did start making cuts this year. Number two, I said that there will be no recession in 2024 and that we will achieve the quote-unquote soft landing. And I think that we can say I got this one right. Right? No, by every metric, no recession happened in 2024. You might be able to debate whether it was a soft landing or a no landing was a phrase that some people used. I think that's semantics. I think I got it right on this front. Now we did come close, right? We had to a recession. We had various metrics that made it seem like maybe a recession was near, and we talked about this on the show. We had the yield curve, the 2-10 yield curve uninverting, then reinverting again. We had the SAHM, S-A-H-M rule triggered. That's another recession indicator. We've had multiple different recession indicators. We've had sticky inflation, underwhelming economic numbers at various times, all sorts of things. But overall, the economy has weathered the storm, and we did not get the recession that we feared in 2024. We haven't had the multiple consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth, all of that sort of stuff. So we averted the worst for 2024. Now, did we just kick the can to 2025? Well, that remains to be seen. But in general, the economy did not go into a recession in 2024. Now, the housing market, as we've said on this show many times, has been in a recession for quite some time. Basically, the housing market has taken medicine for the entire economy, is the way I see it. Had the housing market continued at the blistering pace it was during COVID, that would have absolutely wrecked inflation for the rest of the economy. So that's a good thing. Not great for me being a real estate person, but good for the overall economy. My number three prediction was that mortgage rates would spend the entire year in the sixes, and that the average for the year would be the high sixes when it was all said and done. This is another one where I was half right, okay? Per Mortgage News Daily, a mortgage aggregator, whenever I talk about mortgage rates, I'm always talking about the aggregate Mortgage News Daily rate, right, for the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, because I don't know what this person or that person, what kind of a mortgage they could get. So we're talking about aggregate data here. But per Mortgage News Daily, the average for the year did end up being in the high sixes for the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, but rates in both the second quarter and the fourth quarter ended up in the sevens. So we didn't spend the entire year in the sixes. We had two quarters in the sevens. And that might be surprising, right, if you've not been tracking this, particularly the fourth quarter, right? Because I just said that the Federal Reserve started reducing the Fed funds rate pretty heavily in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. They've had now 75 basis points of reductions. But what we've seen recently is the markets had actually priced in lower inflation, a worse economy, and as a result, even more rate cuts than what the Fed has done and or is projecting to do. And as a result, markets have been driving mortgage rates higher. Mortgage rates, as of today, they are higher than they were a year ago. So not good. Not good for those wanting to buy a house. And so even as the Fed funds rate has gone lower, because the bond market, more so than the Fed funds rate, determines what happens in mortgages, we've seen mortgages go up. Now, again, it's a slow dance between all three of these things. It's a slow dance between the Federal Reserve, not just the Fed funds rate, but also the statements that the Fed is making sways the market. So there's a slow dance with that, and the bond market, and the 30-year fixed rate mortgage. They all kind of do this little dance together. And the end result here of that dance has been that the bond market started dancing ahead of the Federal Reserve and realized, oh shoot, we need to slow down a little bit. And that slowdown, that's an analogy that I'm making, right? It's a metaphor. But what that looked like is that now basically people have laid off of bonds. Now we're seeing treasury yields go up. That then causes the 30-year fixed rate mortgage to increase, which is exactly what has happened in recent months. Number four here, inventory will remain below pre-pandemic levels for the entire year. This one I got destroyed on. I was way off on this prediction. You know, it's a little bit surprising, right? Because demand in Greenville is stronger than in many areas. Actually, the National Association of Realtors just pegged Greenville-Spartanburg or Greenville-Anderson as one of the top emerging markets for 2025. I think we've already emerged. I don't really think we're an emerging market at this point. But regardless, we had 22 people per day moved to Greenville from outside of the area. So there is demand. But in spite of that, there's been more supply entering than demand. And so basically since the summer, inventory has been comparable to pre-pandemic levels. And currently it's sitting at 2015 levels. The market was not very hot in 2015, right? It was a very, very, well, it was a pretty balanced market in 2015. It was not quite a seller's market, not quite a buyer's market, in my opinion. And that's where inventory sits right now. So we did not see inventory remain below pre-pandemic levels for the entire year, not even close. Number five, I said the pending sales for the first quarter would be down year on year and would increase probably slightly for the remaining three quarters. I was wrong on this one, but in a different direction than you would have thought. And surprisingly, pending sales were up for all four quarters. Now, it shouldn't have been, I guess, all that surprising. There were reasons why I thought that there would be basically a down first quarter and then an increase in the other three quarters. But long story short, pendings were up for all four quarters because 2023 pendings were really low, right? And so what's happened, the market has adjusted where more people are putting in offers, but a lot more contracts are falling through. So that's what happens. Pending sales are not closed sales. Pending sales are homes that have gone under contract. A lot of those contracts are in fact falling through. And we had some really strong months in for pending sales year on year in 2024. So once we get the final end of year data, I'm thinking pendings for 2024 will probably end up being about 5% higher than they were in 2023. Which again, 2023 was bad for pending sales. So it's not shocking, but what is shocking is that we had a hurricane that really crippled real estate for at least a month, if not 2 months. And that didn't result in us losing steam in September and losing steam in October and November in terms of pendings. People, you know, like in COVID, people pushed through. They didn't let that impact their home buying or home selling decisions. And for the most part, it seems like Hurricane Helene, people responded in the same way, that just is business as usual. Number six, I said days on market won't go above 60 for the entire year. And even though last month I thought that maybe the impacts of Hurricane Helene might cause days on market to exceed 60, that never happened. I don't think it's going to happen for this month either, for the month of December, even though we don't have the data yet. But the closest we came was 57 days on market in February. We got to 54 days on market in October, but then it came back down to 52 in November. I don't see December exceeding 60. So it looks like we're going to have another years, and I was right on this prediction with low days on market. 60 is still historically to not exceed 60, to be there in the low 50s, that's still a historically low number for us. So we'll see how that continues to track. Number seven, the number of single family closings will rise slightly for 2024 versus 2023, between 0-3%. While many experts expect national declines. This one is going to be a photo finish, okay? Per the multiple listing service, which sometimes the MLS data is different than the GGAR data, so I'm not exactly sure why that is, but I don't have the GGAR data on this yet, but I do have the MLS data, so we'll just refer to that. So per the multiple listing service, 2023 had 1,503 closings in 2023. The way I track that was just looking at just basically not just filtering multiple listing service by single family. I also included condos, townhomes, the other category in there. But I didn't include any multifamily in that category, just to be clear. No land was included, no commercial, none of that was included in there. So 1,503 for 2023. As of today, Christmas Eve, we have 1 week left and not too many business days left in that 1 week. We're sitting at 14,825. So we're about not quite 500 closings off. And I don't think we're going to get there. I think we're going to have it's going to be a very slight, like basically a 1% decrease year on year for single family closings. And, I will say it's possible. It's not completely outside the realm of possibility that we could just have this glut of closings come in before the end of the year, but that would be a lot, right? That would be for us to squeeze in 500 closings in the greater Greenville market, within the next week and with all these holidays. I'm skeptical. So I think I'm going to end up being wrong on this one. I think it's going to end up being a little bit below 0% increase. It's going to be a slight decrease. So that's something that's interesting from a closing standpoint, particularly, as I said, with pending sales being strong. I said that multifamily sales in Greenville Multiple Listing Service will exceed 100 for the first time, and this is going to be another photo finish. However, I think this one might actually get there, okay? We currently have had 97 multifamily closings in the Multiple Listing Service, so we need basically three, or depending on how you interpret my prediction, three or four. It's very possible, right? People like to get those multifamily closings in before the end of the year. Would not be shocked if we saw something, you know, squeeze through here, a few of these to push that number above 100 before the end of the year. Now, why was I right or close to being right on this one? Really, we're just seeing a lot more multifamily construction with the small multifamily, right? When some people think different things when they think multifamily. In the multiple listing service, multifamily is almost always small multifamily. Duplexes, triplexes, quads, smaller, you know, apartment buildings, things like that. We don't see a lot of, you know, 200 unit complexes show up in the MLS. That almost never happens. And there's a lot of good reasons for that. But we're starting to see, you know, the past few years, we've seen a lot of people, a lot of builders building these duplexes and triplexes and quadruplexes, trying to solve the missing middle housing problem that we have basically throughout the entire country. And as a result, we're having more closings come through, even in this higher rate environment where the multifamily properties don't pencil their numbers as well. Still seeing good numbers there. Number nine, foreclosures and foreclosure sales for single family will increase slightly, but remain well below pre-pandemic norms. That was a prediction that I had, I pretty much nailed this one. I could show you guys data, charts and whatnot. I'm not going to for the time being because, quite frankly, it's Christmas Eve. I don't want to. I need to wrap up the show, Basically, foreclosures have ticked up just a little bit in 2024, but they're still near all-time lows, both nationally and in Greenville. We've seen some foreclosures come on the multiple listing service in Greenville, but nothing to move the needle much, right? And there's so much competition on them. You know, this is not, you know, I was looking at homes in 2008, 2009, 2010, trying to become a first-time home buyer, and you could go on, like, HUD's website. There'd be 70 homes on there just sitting, you know, that have been just sitting on there for 200, 300 days. Now, that's just not the case. There's not a lot of foreclosures happening right now. And they're well below pre-pandemic norms, so I nailed that prediction. 10, and the last one here, I said the median price per the GJR market stats will rise by 3-6% for the entire year, although we may see some negative month-on-month prints. This was looking pretty good until the past 3 months derailed it. and it's looking like prices will end up closer to about a 1% rise for the year rather than the 3-6% that I had predicted. A few things caused this. One, the hurricane resulted in damaged homes selling more cheaply. I've seen multiple of instances of this where homes that were listed, for a more expensive amount, they got storm damage, and either they weren't insured or the seller decided to pocket the insurance money and just sell the home for cheaper. Seen that multiple times at this point. The aforementioned increase in foreclosures, again, not a lot of them, but every single foreclosure that sells that's super cheap, that impacts the market, right? That impacts these statistics, that impacts the median price and what's happening there. Presidential election, that influences people a lot more than you realize. And people pump the brakes on buying homes in presidential election years. And last, but certainly not least, perhaps the most important thing out of all was the sudden spike in mortgage rates the past several months. That was really the final nail in the coffin. There was not a lot of people that were predicting that we would see a fourth quarter spike in mortgage rates. But again, the presidential election had a lot to do that. And then the Federal Reserve, some of the things that they've said, some of the signals that they put out there have resulted in that. And so even though I don't have the final numbers on this, it does look like my median price forecast will end up being incorrect. But that's good news if you're a buyer, right? That means that housing hasn't spiraled even more unaffordably and more out of control. But we will, again, see if I make a prediction about median prices for 2025. I do intend to have a bold predictions for 2025 episode coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So I hope you guys continue to listen. Hope you guys have great Merry Christmas, great happy holiday season. Please reach out to me if you have any needs for real estate in the area. My contact information in the show notes. Piper Insurance Group information in the show notes if you need to reach out to them for any of your home, auto, or umbrella insurance needs. And we will talk again next time.